Amen. It sure is good to see each of you tonight. I'm excited to be here, thankful to be here tonight. There's a lot of places that we could have been, but we get to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to see each of you. Good to see Brother Mark with us tonight and his wife. Brother Mark Pennell, always good to see him. I had several good conversations with Brother Mark different times, and I thank the Lord when we can feel his presence. Where one or two are gathered, he'll show up. Amen. Amen. There's been times I've been in the car by myself and he's shown up too. I'll take it. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I'll give a couple of announcements, I guess. So we do have our CFC is kicking back off this coming semester, this week, coming up soon and what have you. So Sunday, I won't be here for the first part of church. We'll be going there to talk to them and talk to the students during our Sunday school time. And as far as our class, just to let our class folks know, Josh said he would fill in for me this coming Sunday. I just said, hey, Josh, have you ever felt led to fill in for me sometime? Just, you know, let me know. And he texted me Monday morning and said, Dad, I'll cover for you. I said, amen, I'll take that. I appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. And so we'll plan on being here for preaching and what have you, just like normal after that. We also have our homecoming coming up on the 23rd. Preacher Jeff Alston will be here with us on that Sunday. And I've been praying a lot about revival. I've got a couple of phone calls to make, hopefully later on September, into maybe late September, early October. I'd like to get before the time changes. Is the time still going to change? Are they going to keep it? I've heard it. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. We'll plan on having revival services anyway, regardless if they change it or not. But been in prayer for that. I got two men that the Lord's laid on my heart to call there. And so I'm looking forward to reaching out to them. And tonight, if you'd like to, you can turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. Looking at verses 19 and 20 down there at the very end. And so, again, going through our church constitution, we're up to what I would say a lighter conversation than what we've had in recent weeks on going through that. There's some pretty heavy stuff when you talk about people and life and situations that we can find ourselves in and all that kind of stuff, but the Bible gives us direction on those things. And tonight, the topic is missions. Amen. You like missions? Anybody like missions? Amen, I do. I'm a believer in missions. I know we are. I looked at this and I'm like, what can I say? What could I preach or teach that you've not heard about missions? And something that the Lord has laid on my heart too, also been praying about, is having a missions conference and revisiting and looking at Faith Promise missions. I'm a strong believer in that. When I first heard about that, I didn't grow up knowing about that. I'm not saying it's a new thing, but when I did hear about it and started trying to take that thing serious, it's amazing how the Lord will line things up. I'm not talking about prosperity and all that kind of stuff like that. I don't believe in things like that, but I do believe if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of your business. You put his business first, he's going to take care of your business. That doesn't mean from time to time that we don't get reminded who's in charge. If everything's easy all the time, we're going to take things for granted. And so I know we have a loving Father that looks after us and takes care of us. And you know what? We can trust him. He's got us in the palm of his hands. Again, looking at missions tonight, I was thinking, my goodness, how in the world to start out talking about this? But I was thinking about kind of how missions works, how things work along these lines, and the importance of word of mouth. How many of you have ever given a referral before? You ever given a referral? You know what a referral, what that is? I mean, that's very common. You know, around here, when we talk about business things, even outside the church, things like that, you talk about it, you mention it, you say it's word of mouth. Word of mouth is the strongest advertisement or the strongest thing that you can do when people get together and talk about things. And if there's a need that comes up, it usually comes by way of referral and the urgency of it. You know, I was looking at it this way. Usually a referral comes out of a couple of things. It comes out of a need and it comes out of a want. It comes out of a need for a person. It also comes out of a want in that if you like somebody and maybe they have helped you before, then you find somebody that needs the same help that you needed, then you would say, this person done me right and I want to help them. I want to help this person because they did me right, and somebody that's doing good business, I want to give them a good referral so they can stay in business. And that's kind of how it works. If somebody did something wrong, not that you would badmouth them, but you probably wouldn't want to give them a good referral because you're tying your name to it. Well, Brother Rodney said, you know, this was a good person, but he didn't do me right. You know, and here's the thing. It's amazing how God works through things like that. I had a preacher friend, I guess a couple of weeks ago, and Brother Rodney, you should have received a phone call. You might have had Brother Robbie Hicks. He called me and he said, "Do you have Brother Rodney's telephone number?" I said, "I absolutely do." I said, "You got a Subaru?" I knew what he's going to ask next. I pretty much figured where he was going with that, but I think it was his mom had a Subaru and needed some work. That's word of mouth. He knew where to go for help. You see, that's kind of how these things work. When you know somebody that can do something or can help you with something and they've done you right, you know how to refer somebody somewhere. It comes out of you wanting to see that person doing well. But a lot of times also, it comes out of somebody needing something. I need something. I don't know how many times during the week a conversation will come up and say, "I need this done. Do you know somebody that does this type of work?" On Facebook, you see it constantly. I need some kind of grading work done. I need electrical work done. I need a plumber yesterday. I've got a leak. I need help. And they wait to see who's going to put in there, who's going to give them help, who's going to show up, who's going to help. And it comes by word of mouth. But you see there's a burden that's placed on there when people start asking for help. It comes to a point in time that it's like, "Hey, I need help. I'm asking for help. Can you help me?" I see a burden placed there. Here's the thing about missions, the way I look at it. Every single born-again Christian is a missionary. Every single one of us. It's not a matter that we need to find somebody to do this or do that or what have you. We should have a burden that, hey, somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to help. And every single one of us should have that burning desire in our heart. The Lord laid it on my heart today just as plain. My goodness, my God has been so good to me. He has never let me down, not one time. And I'm going to ask you tonight, has the Lord ever helped you with anything? I mean, be honest. Has He ever helped you with anything at all throughout your Christian life? If you're lost, the lost person tonight would not recognize that and see that, but you know how merciful God is to the lost people? You know why I know that? They're alive. They're still living. They still have a chance. You see, even though He's not the Lord of their life, they're still living, breathing, and still have a chance. That's His mercy, that's His grace, because He's the one who holds that. He has that. And so when I look at things in life, the different things I've faced, the different things that He has helped me through, you know, Brother Norman and I were talking about doctors on Sunday, and he likes his doctor, and I like my doctor, and a good doctor is worth a whole lot. A doctor that'll listen. You know, sometimes if you might, and thankfully I'm not in this situation, but you might have a doctor that kind of just goes in and maybe prescribes things, does things without listening to you. This is what I'm going to do. This is where the kickbacks come from. I hear that a lot. So this is what you're going to get. We're going to do this because this is what's going to benefit me and hopefully help you also. But I'm thankful for a good doctor that'll listen to you. One that'll listen to your problems, listen to what you got going on in your life, and then try to help you based on what your need is, not just based on what they want to do. You know, Brother Norman, I've got a better doctor than the one I've got in Boone, too. He already knows what to prescribe. He knows me better than my doctor down the road. And he always listens. He always listens to me. I have never found a time that if I was willing to meet him on his terms, that he wasn't right there. And he's like, "I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to give you what you need. Not what you want, but what you need." Some of this medicine stuff, it don't taste good. Some of it's not good at the taste or what have you like that. Maybe not to your liking that way, but it'll help you. See, this is a doctor that will always give you 100% of the time what you need. He's always listening. And something I've thought a lot about in recent weeks and different times is just God's his hedge of protection around us. Anybody here really need and want to be protected? Brother Badger, we don't know what's around the corner. Brother Mark, we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know that. Your doctor can't tell you that. Your doctor can read symptoms, can read blood work, and say more than likely, based off the science and history, a person in this situation is probably going to face this based off of your situation. Great physician, he can override all that. And it's not by writing a prescription, it's just by what he says out of his mouth. That's the great physician. That's the power that he has. The protection that he has for us, that hedge of protection we talk about in church, that's important. When we start stepping outside of that, we start taking on whatever happens after that. Accountability is a big thing. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if you're in church and you're doing like you're supposed to be doing, that everything's going to be easy and right. Ask Job. That's not how it works, and I know that. But Job knew who his Redeemer was. He knew his Redeemer lived, and he never sidestepped that. Though he slay me, is what he said. He's going to stay right there with him. That takes commitment. That takes a desire. That takes somebody knowing who they serve. You know, when you start seeing people come to us and ask us for help, ask us for prayer, ask us for things, you know, I think there needs to be a little bit more. I know who I'm dealing with. I know who is helping me. And when we give those referrals about the Lord, I think that needs to be a little convincing, don't you? A lot of times it's like, hey, I'll help you pray about that thing. And then, I don't know how it's going to work out. Read Romans 8:28. The Bible says it's for your good. If you're loved and you're called in accord to his purpose, that's a big promise. That steps outside of principle. We've talked about principles before. This is a promise. These things will work out for our good. If you stay with the Lord, things are going to work out to our good. So I've seen some things happen on this side of eternity. It didn't look too good, but if you're saved, we're talking about on the other side of eternity. That's what really matters. You think about what people need and the purpose of it. I've got mission verses, but we'll try to get to it. I don't know. This is more important. I want you to have a burden for missions first, because without a burden, it ain't going to mean anything. It won't mean anything. It'll be we have somebody that we send to do that. But here's the thing. You need to be the one. Let's look at it like this. I don't know how to work on Subarus. I don't know how to do that. You know that I don't know how to do that, because you tried to tell me how to do that, and I said, I don't know how to do that. Sunday school, we were talking about it. We were talking about that very instance. Needed help one time, and my wife's Subaru was broken down, and went to Advance to try to find a part and all that good stuff. And guess who I run into? Right there in the Advance. Brother Rodney. The doctor. The Subaru doctor, right? Amen. And you know what he did? He tried to tell me. He said, this is what you need to do. You need to do this and this and this. He outlined what I need to do. And I was like, this is one of those when you flipped it on the wrong side of the instruction manual and you're reading the Chinese side and you're like, I have no idea what he's saying. But he's very confident in what he said he could do. You know what he said? He said this. He said, this is what you need to do. He outlined it. Or he said, or I could come and do it for you. I said, let's go with that. Let's go with option number two. And he did. He showed up on site, had his cardboard, laid it on the card, fixed everything, and Brandy was able to drive it away. You know how happy I was? Amen. And you know what was special about it too? I said, Brother Rodney, what do I owe you? This is a long time ago too. You know what he said? He said, you're one of my preachers. You don't owe me anything. I was like, well, I appreciate that. I wanted to pay it. That's a hard time of life. He covered that. But you know how much that meant to me? Here's the thing. What I'm getting at when I say all these things right here, what I want us to understand is everybody here, any one of us, can't do everything. We can't. I'm not handy with my hands. I'm not. I wish I was. Maybe if I applied myself more to things or what have you, but growing up with Brother Aaron, Brother Daniel, different people, they were the ones. They amazed me, the stuff that they can do in constructing and building. And what I learned how to do is I was in law enforcement, and I was like, well, I'll learn what I can do and hopefully have money to pay people for what they can do. And that'll be the trade-off. But when we think about missions, I want you to know something, that the way I look at this, the way it changed my way of seeing things, is it's your responsibility to go. The Bible doesn't name certain people. See, we categorize things so much in our life that it's like we need to hire somebody, have somebody, get somebody that's going to take care of this, and then we will compartmentalize everything. But you see, the Bible doesn't compartmentalize it like that. When it gives out the commandment, it gives it out to all of us. Right? And it says, you go. You do this. But you know, the reality of it is too, volume of things, this is a big earth. There's a lot of people here. It's not our obligation to try to wait for people to come to us. We've got to go for them, seeking out what their problems are. Go to them and say, are you saved? When's the last time you asked somebody that? Maybe out in public. You know, the Lord has really laid that on my heart several times. You can kind of see sometimes when people are in conversations with you, talking about things, you can tell there's more on their mind than on their heart than what they're actually talking about. I think sometimes they want to get on to what's most important, what's more important, what's bothering them. You see, if you and I really had a burden for lost people like we're supposed to have, we would feel like we are the ones that's supposed to go and get to the place it's like, I'm doing all I can do. So I have to send somebody else. I have to pay somebody else to do this. I have to supply their need to send them to go do this. But the next question I'd ask at that point is, are you doing everything that you can do that you're at that point that you have to start outsourcing in sharing the gospel, or do you still have room to share some gospel? So when you look at missions, you think about the importance of it. It's referral-based. It's burden-based. A little bit like we talked about on Sunday, this is the recipe that's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. You go back in the Old Testament and see how the law was, but then you get to the time of the cross and you get to the Lord and what he's saying here in Matthew 28:18 and or 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He said, I'm sending you. And the thing about it is, he didn't say deacons. He didn't say preachers. He didn't say Sunday school teachers. That's every single one of us. That's all of us. That's all of us. So this is one of those things, this means you. When you read these verses, this means you and me. You know, and you think, well, I'm not called to do this. If you are saved, you're called to be a missionary somewhere. That missionary might just be in your own household. Your children, your kids, your family. And I tell you, sometimes family is some of the hardest people to talk to. But you need to reach out to Jerusalem first, don't we? It starts at home. If you can't share the gospel in your house, how are you going to share it in China? See, I think a lot of times we think missions, we think, man, that is way over there somewhere. We'll have somebody that comes in and maybe they can... They will let us hear their different language, maybe hear a song in a different language, and we'll give them some money, and then we'll turn around, and we probably won't think about them unless they give us a letter or something. Think about that. That's my responsibility to be there. When we send somebody, you're sending them on behalf of the referral that you've given about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's important to have, when we have missionaries come in, to actually hear them preach what they're saying, listening to what they preach, listening to the Bible that they preach out of, the gospel, not some other gospel, not talking about some other Jesus, the only one Jesus. I tell you, there's a lot of things going on that's really messed up. I'll read this here. This is what we believe. Now, this is what, when we join Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, this is what we're saying we believe as a member. We believe that God has given the Great Commission to proclaim the gospel to all nations. so that there might be a great multitude from every nation, tribe, ethnic group, and language group who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must go to them and not wait on them to come to us. It's a sending out. It's a going to. There's a lot of people that won't ask for help until they're in trouble. And they don't know that they need help until they're in trouble. When we hear these missionaries come in and talk about Hinduism and these different things and all the different religions and Buddhism and all these things that these people are deceived by, they don't know they need our help, the Lord's help. They don't know that. And guess what? You didn't know it either until somebody told you. We didn't know. You go to church, you hear the gospel, you fall under conviction. The Holy Spirit does His work. You realize that you need to do something, and then it's up to you, the decision you make. But if you then decide to accept Christ, then you start seeing the world in a completely different light. Things look different then. But somebody had to go to you to tell you. Somebody. Somebody had to take you to church or meet you outside somewhere, meet you outside the church somewhere. That's how that works and that comes together. I know we have a business meeting tonight, but I want to read a few of these things and I will pray after the preaching. How about that? I'll pray after that. I know that is needful and I'm going to. But Mark 16:15, and it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's not leaving anybody out. That's everybody. We need to pray for our missionary in China, one that we have in China. He's having a very hard time. I know, I think the last correspondence Brother James had, he was safe, but hiding. When's the last time you had to hide because of what you believe? We're afraid to go to work, Brother Mark, sometimes say, I might make somebody mad on the job. I might not need to say this. Might lose business or something like that. Let's say this. When you look at it, you get in heaven, I promise you, every single one of us that are saved, you get to heaven, I promise you. I told Brandy this yesterday. We get to heaven, we're going to look back and say, I could have done more. I should have done more. I wish I would have done more. You get to heaven and you see what it's like. All this, man, so much of this stuff doesn't mean anything. Nothing. Doesn't mean anything at all. The things, a lot of times, that we put in such high esteem, it doesn't mean anything. Luke 24:46-48, it says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." You say, well, I don't know what to say. Brother Mike, I don't know what to say to somebody. I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing. If you saw a big fire break out, you see one of these big car crashes right in front of your face, it don't take you 2 seconds to tell people what you saw, does it? Man, did you see that? Boom! Man, it blew up and there's fire everywhere and just all over the road and the sirens and everything come out. My goodness, it's the wildest thing you ever saw. That's what being a witness is. You tell somebody what you saw. I mean, my goodness, the help that this world needs goes well beyond anything that the government could give us. It's strictly what the Lord Jesus Christ can give us. It starts right in here. You know, you start, it's not 12 steps and however many step programs. If the Lord gets in a person's heart and starts a work in that heart, that's where the change is going to take place. And it's change. I mean, that person messed up and fell, but that's a change that's going to stay with them forever. Because when you mess up, you're going to know you messed up and you're going to fix it. The world don't want to fix things. The world wants to cover things up. Wants to hide things. It's just being a witness. And it said behooved. You know, that means it was necessary. That's why Christ went to the cross. It was necessary. Just like the song that they were singing, it was absolutely necessary. It was imperative. And there is no way to get people the help they need without telling them what the gospel is. So I don't know how to do that. If you're born again, you have to know how to do that. How did you get saved? How did you get help? When you realized that you were lost, when you realized that you were on the road to hell and you had no hope, what did you do? Who did you call? What did you go to? I mean, what did you do? Did you talk to mom and dad? That probably, maybe. Did you talk to somebody that you knew goes to church? Probably so, maybe. Do you know they couldn't save you? All they can do is kind of what the ambulance driver does. Throw you in and take you up to the place where you can get help. And you know, that's all we can do. Hey, let me tell you something. The Lord's doing the heavy lifting. We just got to lift Him up. You lift up the Lord and put Him where He's supposed to be. He said, I'll take it from there. I'll take it from there. You put me in your life where I'm supposed to be, and I'll do the rest. That's good, because I can't save nobody. I can't. I can't heal nobody. I can't save nobody. I can't do that. But He can. All we have to do is tell people about it. All we have to do is share the gospel with people. So that's hard, I tell you. It'd be hard one day if there's conversations and times that we had and the Lord laid it on your heart after the fact, I should have said something. Have you ever had that happen to you? Meet somebody in public and then you kind of drive away or something, say, I should have said something. What would it be like if one day, if that person didn't accept Christ and you confronted them then when it was too late and the blood is on your hands, my hands? Now's the time. Now's the time. When we think about missions, it's not about just supplying money in a plate. It's remembering the burden that we're supposed to have and praying for them as that goes out. It's that important. It is absolutely that important. John 20, 21, it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. See, Jesus came, the very first missionary. We don't have any excuse. We had the best trainer that heaven could offer, and that's Jesus Himself. All God and all man came down to show us how to do it. He gave us His Word. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And as my Father hath sent me, even so I sent you. He's passing that along to us. Most everybody here will probably know Acts 1:8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's everywhere. I don't know if we've gotten there yet. I love looking at our board. I love looking at that. And I want to say this. I am so thankful for Brother Mike and Sister Marilyn helping and taking on the help and correspondence and work with the missions. And the work continues. There's a preacher that I watch. I say follow, but I watch and listen to. He's solid. And I tell you, Lord willing, one day I hope and I pray that maybe he can come here and preach for us. That's my prayer. Help me pray about that. Our help comes from the Lord, but He uses people, and I believe this man can help us. He's been a help to me. He's been a great help to me. But you know, he had a burden laid on his heart. I heard him talking about this one time, talking about missions, that they'd have a missionary in every country in the world. That's what they're working on. I don't know. I'm not certain that they may not already have done that or very close to that. Or maybe it's 400. I might be telling you wrong. But you think about that. Now, this is a church of 300 or 400, 500 people. So it's not some mega church. It's an independent Baptist church in a little town up in Maryland. But they have a heart for missions. I believe we have a heart for missions. It's our responsibility. I want to close with this. I thought this is very interesting. When we read things quickly, we'll miss out on what it says sometimes. But 2 Corinthians 5:20. Talked a lot about Corinthians recently. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So what he's saying here, then we are ambassadors. Now that's putting it back on us. So I'm like, okay, ambassadors. Brother James, you've probably seen ambassadors on campus. Now, and I know I've never really run into them maybe a whole lot as far as ambassadors to other nations and other things like that. I know they have embassies and all those kind of things in Washington, and that's that safe place for that person to be. And, you know, they have immunities there and what have you. But an ambassador, the ones on campus, what it is, it's students who's been here. They've been here for a while. They know their way around campus. It's not somebody that just walked on campus and, hey, do this. It ain't like, it's people who know where the nooks and crannies are. And you know what they know? They know how to give people direction. They know how to say, if you want to go here, this is what you have to do. It takes people with some know-how. Ambassadors are supposed to have some know-how and know what to do. Well, you know what the Bible is saying here? You and me, we're ambassadors. So what's the next thing you're supposed to do if the Bible says you are something? What's the next thing you're supposed to do? Read the definition to see if you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. I looked it up. I thought this is very interesting. An ambassador is this, a minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state and representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. That's a pretty big deal. That's a big responsibility. So when you say you're an ambassador, that means if I'm an ambassador of the prince, the King of Kings, if I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to go in his place. Think that's a big deal? It's been minimalized so much. You know, people don't dress for the occasion anymore. It's not as important as it once was. Things like that. I tell you what, if you go to the White House, you're probably not going to wear a t-shirt and jeans. Probably not going to wear shorts. Probably not just going to show up kind of so-so. There's probably a dress code. Like Donald Trump or hate him, there's still a dress code. Any previous thing, here's the thing, it's not even necessarily the person, it's the office, it's the place. Probably not just going to show up so-so. So if the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, don't you think that means a little something? Need to talk like it, look like it, be like it, esse quam videra, to be rather than to seem. And I want to tell you something about being an ambassador. It's not an 8-to-5 job. You don't get to clock out. You don't get to clock out. I mean, it's something you do 24 hours a day. See, that's the problem. We compartmentalize things and say it's maybe Sunday's coming, the service is coming. I gotta feel good about being in the service. Let's get prayed up for the service. But after that, slack off. There's no slacking off. You are always being watched. I am always being watched. What we say, what we do. Being an ambassador is a very, very big deal. It goes on to say that's a part of what it says here. And again, it says a minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state and representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. That's Jesus Christ's sovereign, his power. Ambassadors are ordinary. Now, wait a minute. You told me I was a big deal just a minute ago. No, you ain't. The person that you're representing is. See, that's the thing. You know what we do with us a lot of times? We'll say, I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up. All this kind of stuff. And we kind of, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but we kind of get in this place that we give ourselves a pass when we shouldn't. His command is still his commandments. And the way he wants us to act, we're supposed to come out from among them and be separate, not on our own account, but because we're representing him. If people don't see a difference, what's the point? What's the point? That ambassador looks just like any old. I didn't know he was anybody. He didn't act like anybody. See, you and I are supposed to act like somebody for our Lord. Says here again, ambassadors are ordinary. But look what it says here. When they reside permanently at a foreign court, or extraordinary, when they are sent on a special occasion. Now here's the thing. Well, what's the special occasion? That's the next question. What's the special occasion? Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, is that the special occasion? So I got to act like somebody those two times? Or if we go to church on Sunday nights, I gotta be extraordinary at those times. No, you're extraordinary after you accept Christ. There's no clocking out. There's no turning back. Being an ambassador is a very, very important thing. I'm gonna close with this right here. I know we got business meeting to take care of and everything, but when you look at missions, you read over those things. Our burden level should be right here. Mission should be, reaching the world with the gospel should be priority one all the time. Our family, just like it says, at home, abroad. I'm so thankful for the opportunities that we get to have, that we have at the university. Every single opportunity is important. We always need to be looking for more opportunities. And that doesn't mean somebody else. That doesn't mean we need to find another missionary to send to. No, that means I need to be a missionary at home. I need to be a missionary at home. But I hope this will kind of direct our minds and our hearts on some things here. Then again, why we believe in missions. You know, there's a lot of things that we look at when we think about just the title of our church. Independent, Fundamental, Missionary, Baptist. That's a lot. Well, that's what the Lord called us to do. It's nothing that's not in the Bible. That's why it's important to go over these things and not get caught up in things that we're not. And stay true to who God called us to be, regardless. All we got to do is what that Bible tells us to do. You can let everything else go. All the preferences, all this other stuff that you see going on today and everything. So you can let all that stuff go and just stay with what the Lord said. How, like Dad was telling me, we're talking this week. What did Preacher Carl say? You know what he said. Stay with the stuff. That's all we got to do. That's all we got to do. That's all we got to do. Just stay with the stuff. But I'm going to stop right there. Let's pray. Father.